I want to talk about spiritual blessings this morning. And next Sunday, I want to start a series on what must I do to be saved. There's a lot of controversy, a lot of differences in the church. And I think if we just take an honest look at Scripture, it tells us what we need to do to be saved. But this morning, I want to talk about spiritual blessings. The text is out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Father, I thank you for your word. I know that your word is truth. I pray, Lord, that you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive this, that it will be an encouragement to us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak through me, that we all may learn from your precious word. I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In those first three paragraphs, one time Paul says through Christ, two times he says in Christ, five times he says in him. You think he's trying to get something across to us? Yeah. There's salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. Everything that's available to the Christians is because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Everything. Now, I didn't dissect this and say how many times he said by grace, by God's will. You can read the text. But it all is summed up what Paul is saying. This is all by the grace of God because of the love that God had. You cannot earn salvation. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You weren't good enough to get saved, neither was I. It was all God's grace. And I know everybody in here, I hope everybody in here knows that. I saw a Christian woman the other day look like she'd been chewing ice cubes with holes in her teeth. And I thought, boy, what a witness. She just had the most sour look on her face, had the Pentecostal hairdo, pulled back so tight she didn't have crow's feet in her eyes. You know what I'm talking about? Dress calf length. And I knew she was a Christian. She may have been having a bad day. And I thought, you know, that's too bad. Sometimes we forget what God's done for us. We don't take advantage of it. And by that, I don't mean that in a bad way. All the spiritual blessings that he's made available to you and me, and very often we don't choose to walk in them. We choose to get our eyes on the world around us and say, God, if you're in control, why is this going on? Why is this happening? I don't feel very holy. I don't feel very sanctified. I don't feel your spirit. Feelings are fickle. You can be singing Amazing Grace one day and I'm so blue the next, but God's still with you. Okay, thank you. I'm not fishing for amens. I'm just making sure. I thought I was in a Methodist church for a minute. Nothing against the Methodists, but we do, we forget. With this COVID hoax that was going on, the Black Lives Matter demonstrations, and the looting, the burning, the raping, the killing, as a Christian, it was hard for me to watch the evening news and not get frustrated and angry and think, God, how long are you going to let this go on? But then I remembered, it's in His hands, not mine. He's going to judge when He's ready to judge. And I forgot about the promises that He's made to me and to you. This is what Paul's talking about this morning. Number one, he said, it's all in Christ, it's through Christ, and it's by God's grace. I listed some of those blessings, I think they're spiritual blessings. Paul said, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. God's plan of salvation was already in place before the foundation of the world was laid. That's impressive to me. C.S. Lewis said that it impressed him that God knew exactly what was going to happen to mankind, and He went ahead and did it anyway. Yeah. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew Adam and Eve were going to fall. He knew He was going to have to send His only Son to pay for sins, to die for us on the cross, and He chose to do it. Now that's the love of God. I hear a lot of people talking about the love of God today. I don't think they have a clue what it means. They want all love and no justice. All mercy but no consequences. God is a just God. Why did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross? Because we broke His law. And the law demanded that blood be shed for sin. But God wasn't happy with the blood of bulls and goats. The Bible says it couldn't take away sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ does. Yes. So Paul said He planned that. He already had it in place before He even made the foundation of the world. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to me. Yeah. When Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't sit on the throne, wring His hands, say, boy, they messed it up now. I guess we'll have to go to plan B. What is plan B, by the way? Did we talk about that? He had it all lined out. Peter said of Jesus, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for your sake. I'm not going into great detail, but you know there's Christians and churches and preachers that teach this foreknown, predestined. That all has to do with the plan of salvation and God pre-elected who would be saved and who would be damned. And I think they're missing it. This is what I get out of this passage when you keep it in context. The plan of salvation has been predestined. Not who would and who would not be saved. We're all free will. If you choose to refuse God's gift of salvation, on your head be it, because He has done everything He can for you. So Jesus agreed to be slain for our sins before they even created the earth itself. That's a blessing. Paul said that He chose us to be holy and blameless before Him. He said to the church of Colossae, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. Whew. That's how I feel. You know, that's hard for me to receive at times, that God looks at me and I'm holy. Doesn't say I'm perfect. But God sees me as holy. How can that happen? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. You remember the priests under the law were anointed with the oil. There was a certain oil. God said they couldn't use it for anything but that. They were anointed with oil. They were anointed with blood. That was a 7-day process to ordain the priest and the high priest. And once they were ordained, God said, now you're holy. But Paul said, because of the blood of Christ, now we're holy. Praise God. Where's Brother Phil? He must have took off. Do you believe that? I don't feel very holy, neither do I, but the Bible says that God sees me as holy and unreprovable. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't get on to us. But you know, Satan's still the accuser of the brethren. And there's a passage in Isaiah that I love that God said, "This is the heritage of my servants. Their righteousness comes from me." So the devil can get up before God and say, "You know how lousy they are." And God said, "No. They're righteous. They're my kids." Now there's a big little word in this quote, and people don't like it. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. How many of you know that coming to Christ is not a get out of hell free card? And all I got to do is say the sinner's prayer and be bar socked in the water and I'm in. Paul said we have to continue in the faith. Why did he tell us that? There was a lot of false doctrine going around the church of his day. And Paul said, you got to hang on to the faith. What faith? The faith is in this word. All we need is this book, church. This is all we need. If this book says it's a sin, it's a sin. If this book said it's righteous, then it's righteous. There's no confusion there. The confusion wells up within ourselves when we want to allow ourselves to do things that's against the word. And we listen to the same one Adam and Eve listened to when he said, "Did God really say?" When people say, "I know the Bible says, but," be careful. That but can drag you down. Paul says, if we continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Do you know the apostles preached the truth? Yeah. Do you know how the first century church was when false doctrine came in? The elders, the ministers, they kicked it out of there like a snake. Why? Because they had the word of the apostles, the teaching of the apostles, and they had the prophets and the psalms. They had the word. They were just silly enough to believe it. I have talked to people many times that think that God is guided by cultural norms. Well, if culture accepts this, God must have accepted it. It's like, you know, he's taken some Thorazine and he's calmed down a little bit. No. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said to Moses, "I am not a man that I lie, and I'm not the son of man that I change my mind." It's us who adulterate the word, not God. So Paul said we have to remain in this faith. Here's another blessing. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus was raised, John's my favorite account, when he sees Mary Magdalene and she grabs a hold of him. Don't blame her. But Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You know that wasn't possible before Jesus died on the cross? Jesus was preaching one day and some of the Jews got offended and they said, "God's our Father." He said, "No, he's not." But now, we've been adopted. I've said this before, church, we're not stepchildren. We were legally adopted by the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I can call him Dad, he calls me son, he calls you daughters. I heard a preacher one time say something that convicted me. He said, "You need to watch how you treat your wife or girlfriend because that's God's daughter. You don't want that daddy after you." And I had to pray. I said, "You know, I'm sorry, Lord. I forget that. That's God's girl." But ladies, you need to remember your husband's God's son. So you need to watch how you treat him. Yeah. Praise God, There was a wall between us. But Paul said Jesus Christ tore that wall down. Did you hear what he said to Mary? I'm going to my Father, now he's your Father. I'm going to my God, now he's your God. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing, church. Do you know that God's not the God of this world? There's a lot of people in this world claiming that God's their God, but he's not, because they haven't come to him through Jesus Christ. You cannot earn that. God didn't look at me one day and say, well, Rick's been keeping about 5 of the 10 commandments, and I know he's trying, so I'm going to go ahead and save him. I was a vile sinner. Disgusting. I was the kind of man that some people cross the street to keep from saying hello to. But when I called on the name of the Lord, he accepted me, and he cleansed me, and he forgave me. And he said, now you're my son. But you know there's a big responsibility with that, because we reflect our Father. That's a blessing. We've been adopted. Here's another blessing. We've been forgiven of our trespasses. The book of Hebrews says, and the Holy Spirit who bears witness to us, for after saying this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. We were talking about forgiveness Wednesday night. We got into a discussion of that in Bible study. And forgiveness is a hard thing to do. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. You heard what I just read to you? I don't think that's scriptural, church. What'd God say? I won't remember anymore. Now, I understand forgiveness means to give up resentment. But if you keep it up here, and you keep letting it roll around up here, and I'll tell you how you know if you can tell if you've forgiven somebody. Do you get furious when you think about them? Does hatred boil up in you? Do you wish them harm? Then that's not God's kind of forgiveness. Well, you don't know what they did to me. What'd you do to God? You sinned and caused him to send his beloved son to the cross and shed his blood because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And God said, I forgive you. And not only did he say, I forgive you, I love this. He said, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. I don't even remember your past. Praise God. That's a blessing, church. Yeah. Okay. What I'm wanting to get across to you, what Paul's wanting to get across to you, we are blessed by God, and we are God's children. The Bible says we're priests, we're kings. We don't belong to this world. This world hates us. Jesus told us it would. And the church acts freaked out every time somebody speaks against the church. Oh my gosh. The wicked are coming out of the closet and the church is running into it. Well, we're just going to sit here and be quiet Christians. Put out that candle. We don't want anybody to know we're here. I'm a king. So are you other men. You're kings. I'm a priest. Everybody in this room is a priest. Through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Do you know at one time that promise was only for the Jews? And Peter's the one that told the Gentiles, you're kings and priests now, because we were kings and priests. God told him that. He said, you're a holy nation. You're a holy person in God's eyes. Now, let me explain something. That word holy doesn't mean that you're perfect. But if you look in the Greek and the Hebrew, it also means God has set you aside for a holy purpose, and it's up to you to live that purpose. I seen a cartoon one time, and this guy had a cardboard Jesus, and he was kneeling down, and he was smoking a doobie. And the caption said, when God sees me, all he sees is Jesus. That's smokescreen religion, church. I didn't mean to get off on that. Sorry, Lord. Look at the blessings God's given us. What do we owe him? Everything we have, everything we are, everything we ever hope to be. I'm closing. Paul said that God in Christ has revealed to the church the mystery of his will. Do you know that the scriptures say the prophets longed to know what it was they were talking about and diligently looked into it? Angels wanted to know, and God said no. But in Jesus Christ, he revealed it to us. How did the world take it? You're full of beans, dude. I got my religion figured out. I don't need to hear what you say. But what did the Lord say? Remember what last week we talked about that? He said, I've told you of heavenly things and you won't receive it. When he was talking to Nicodemus. But he said, to those who do receive what I teach, they have set this to their seal that God is true. And we're blessed because of that. How many here have ever seen Jesus face to face? If you raise your hand, I want to talk to you after the service. Okay? Nobody. Thomas had to touch him. Thomas said, I won't believe it unless I touch him. And Jesus showed up and said, Thomas, touch me. And Thomas fell to his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I've never seen him face to face, but he's as real to me as anyone in this room. But sometimes I forget about the blessings that he's given to me as a son, and I live below where I need to be. God loves us, church. And we need to learn to love one another. The old saying goes, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your kinfolk. So we might as well learn to love one another and get along with one another. I used to go to bars, and it was almost guaranteed when you got a bunch of people together drinking, there was going to be a fight. Well, I found this out in the church for 27 years. When you get a bunch of people together, even though they ain't drinking, there's going to be a fight. Because we want our way. What was Paul's message? All this was done for the glory of God and of Jesus Christ. We are here to glorify Jesus Christ, not get our way all the time. Well, I got one amen. We're the only Bible some people are going to read. Do you know the world's sick and tired of hearing about Jesus? They're looking to see him. Do you know that we're his hands and his feet? Yeah. God could have chose some other way to get the message out to people, but he uses his word, he uses his Holy Spirit, and what Jesus say, I'm going to empower you to be my witnesses. Yeah. And he's blessed us with spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. There's another one just came to my mind, it's one of my favorites. When the high priest on the Day of Atonement, only once a year could go into the Holy of Holies. If you're familiar with the tabernacle, it was a tent made. God told the Jews how to make it. And there was the holy place and then the most holy place. The high priest could only go in once a year, and he had to take the blood of bulls and goats. If he stepped in there any other time, he died. You know why? Because God is holy and we are not. And God said, I will be reverenced as holy. And the high priest had to offer blood for his sins, and then he had to offer blood for the sins of the nation. You remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross? The veil in the temple was torn in two. And the writer of Hebrews says, you and I can enter the Holy of Holies in heaven itself with boldness. I almost picture the Lord sitting there saying, come on in, what do you need? That's a blessing. It is for me. God has blessed his church. God wants to bless his church again. I've been praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this church. Because I'm a firm believer in it. And I'm a firm believer this church needs it. Including me. I'm not leaving myself out. We need the Spirit of Christ in us to guide us, to empower us, to start being witnesses to this community and those around us. And the Lord said, if you keep knocking and keep asking, I'm going to answer. So hang on. Hang on. I'm not saying you're going to talk in tongues and do backflips and fall on the floor like a chicken with its head cut off, but I'm saying you will get an awakening and enlightenment about Jesus Christ you've never had before. He's the one the blessings come through. He delivers them. Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to be encouraged by these words. God doesn't lie. And when he makes a promise, he keeps it. Yeah. I had a lady tell me one time in the church that she thought one of the biggest problems that Christians had, we had a low self-esteem. I said, no, ma'am, we're full of ourselves. We need a Christ esteem. We need to see ourselves the way he sees us. And it doesn't give us nothing to boast and brag about, but what a confidence it'll give us.
Amen.